What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.
Yeah, that's all it pretty much is. Just a little auto tune.
Talking about what's ever on their minds.
Hey, it's God bless autotunes and every app that you can get on your cell phone.
Sounds like
now.
A depressed robot every time I hear it.
Like Marvin the Paranoid Android?
I don't want to go out anymore. I don't think so. Actually, I could do that effect. Whatever.
Hey, guys. Welcome. It's another lovely, fun-filled, scrumtapulous, fucking hot day.
Scrumtaculous.
Scrumtaculous,
that
yes.
It sounds like that's stuff that's sticking to your frickin' taint or something. It's scrumtaculous.
We're a minute into the show, and you already dropped taint.
Is that what I have to look forward to when
I
get married?
Oh, yeah. 59 more minutes of taint talk.
Okay, nice, man. Nice.
That's how I roll, son. That's how I roll.
Gee,
roll
Happy Rosh Hashanah.
Happy Rosh Hashanah. Exactly. To all, all our Jewish friends. That's funny. And
it's
Arab.
Ironic. I was thinking the same thing on the way over here. You have an Arab on your podcast. It's Rosh Hashanah. Flip is Jewish. I'm like, this shit is a setup. I got really paranoid.
Come on in. The Israeli
was
army.
Was this planned?
Country.
Was this planned? Did you know this? When you
I actually did not. But yeah, we're recording this on Rosh Hashanah. It's 5774, I believe, is a year.
Like 5774?
I believe so.
5774.
And I only know that because I went on Facebook and saw some other Jews post that. So I'm like,
so
eh,
you don't
sure.
You don't know yourself. You're not.
I'm the worst Jew ever.
Damn it.
I'm Jewish for the stage time, really,
Flip
just for the
Schultz.
Jokes.
I know, right?
Flip Schultz, everybody. But the guest today, a very funny man from the other side of the Nile.
Yes.
Mike Batea is here, everybody.
What's up, everybody?
Mike Batea.
There you go for your Rosh Hashanah.
Thank
I
you.
Like it.
Yes.
I like
and,
it.
And for all our Arabs.
We're bridging the gap today.
Exactly.
Yay.
So what's up?
Welcome
Not too
to
much,
the show.
Man. How are you doing?
Nice, man. This is the most comfortable podcast yet, man. I got this.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, yeah. You sit in the king chair, man.
I'm telling you, baby. This is it.
That's how we do it. We like to make sure our guests are comfy.
Nice.
Actually, Mike, when he got here, we were discussing Lost because Mike was first saying that he's going to the Breaking Bad rap party, which is very fucking cool.
Yeah,
wow.
You were on Breaking Bad, weren't you?
Yeah. I did a few episodes, season 4 and 5. I played Dennis Murkowski.
Look at that.
He was the manager of the laundromat where, you know, spoiler alert if you guys are catching up on
We've never seen the show, I'll
okay,
be honest
well,
with you.
Yeah, there's
so if you know
Matt
the show,
Lambert
but you're not at season 4 or 5,
yeah,
spoiler
yeah.
alert.
There you go. So I'll be doing that September 29th, man. Aaron Paul and his wifey sent me an email, and they're going to have
that is so cool,
showing
man.
The pilot episode at the Hollywood Museum. I mean, the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to show the final episode, and Jimmy Kimmel's going to be interviewing the cast members and after party. And
that's right, you were
hopefully
set.
Try to sneak some of that crystal meth and sell
nice.
It on eBay.
I really feel like that's one of these, like it's a yeah. cultural phenomenon that I'm not a part of, and I feel so out of the loop because everybody's
yeah,
like, "Oh
I
my God, Breaking Bad!"
To
Breaking
be honest
Bad.
With you, I didn't watch it until after I was told I was coming back. Never seen an episode, and then when I did an episode of it, they just gave you it's almost like a Woody Allen situation where they just gave me my sides, and I couldn't read a script. Like I didn't know what the hell was going on, and I just kind of acted accordingly to the scene. And then mm-hmm. Then after that, when I found out I was coming back, that's when I. They were showing some kind of marathon on AMC, and I watched it. And every single episode was like a movie in itself. It was just
really.
It's amazing, man. It's really.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
It's mind blowing.
So that's gonna. So you're like a recurring episode, a recurring character on this like
yeah.
Again phenomenon. That's kinda,
yeah.
That's
kind
of helpful.
That's awesome.
That was pretty cool.
We've got to get on it, Flip. We got to watch this shit.
But that leads into our little dispute here.
Oh, that's right. So, yeah, we were, because you had mentioned Jimmy Kimmel is going to do like a kind of after show interview
yeah,
and everything.
Interview them and, yeah.
And I said, oh, that's what Jimmy Kimmel did for Lost.
Yeah.
And we started getting on this Lost thing. And I'm not sure if we've discussed it on the show, but I'm a huge Lost fan. You can see behind me on my
right.
shelf, I have all 6 seasons there. So I've seen the.
So you'd highly recommend it. I've watched maybe 2 or 3 episodes of it.
Okay.
And I kind of had it figured out.
You think you had it figured out, and people who
because
told you were right.
No, I mentioned Okay, after the
okay, for those who haven't seen
finale,
Lost, spoiler. This can be a spoiler conversation, so.
Well, it's kind of like a year or two done, so I think it's okay.
Well, in case somebody's like, I've always wanted to watch Lost.
Yeah, I might want to get into it now.
Well, then I don't want to spoil it for you.
But
give him something that makes him want to watch it. You don't have to be Mr.
Well, no, but I don't want. He wants to know what the actual thing was.
I'm the type of person that even if they give me a like somebody spoiled Sixth Sense for me, and I still saw it and suspended disbelief and
really, you were able to do that?
I was into it. Yeah.
See,
I wasn't trying to bake it down like, oh, yeah, okay, I see the signs and I see where it's going. And I just, you know what? I just erased that and just enjoyed the experience.
Signs was a different movie. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No,
yeah.
Somebody actually spoiled Sixth Sense for me as well, but I didn't even put it but then I saw the movie and I thought he was going to, like, they were going to show him die and he was going to come back. I didn't realize that the whole twist was he was dead the whole time. So I still had a little bit of fun. But Lost, okay, right. if you want to really know.
I want to know, because I told Flip, I go, yeah, they're in purgatory. It was
okay,
I
no.
knew right away, they're all here's, dead, and they're trying to either go to heaven or hell, and they're helping no. each other guide the souls.
No. That
sort of.
Not, but that wasn't the whole story.
This is going to be Flip's theory.
This is my theory, but I am very.
Your theory? You can't have a theory.
Well, no, because no, the whole show is open for interpretation.
Yeah, they never give you an exact answer to anything.
That's bullshit. I'm not going to watch it.
Well, no. Okay, listen. Here's my theory, but I think it's I think it holds water. I really do.
Even your wife's rolling her eyes. Come on, go ahead.
Well, because she doesn't. I've seen it. I've seen the whole series. Twice. The first five seasons I've seen twice because once when it was airing and then once before the last season, I caught up on the entire show and Allison watched it with me.
Okay.
So I've seen the first five seasons twice and the sixth season. So this is what it is, in my opinion. Basically, I'll try to give you a very sixth season condensation thing.
Remember, this is a podcast.
This might be a Lost centric podcast. Basically, the whole series is the main guy, Jack, who is Scott Wolf.
Matthew Fox.
Thank you, Matthew Fox. I knew it was an animal of some kind. It's his journey. It starts, the first shot of the series is him opening his eyes on the beach. And big spoiler alert.
I saw that.
Spoiler alert. The last shot of the series is him dying with his eyes closing. So the whole show is basically his journey from going from a broken man to a hero. That's the overall aspect of the show. Now, you get into the characters and everything and the island. The island itself is not heaven, it's not hell, it's not purgatory. Listen, the island exists.
The definition of not heaven or hell is purgatory.
I said it's not heaven, not hell, not purgatory.
It has to be purgatory.
No, it isn't.
It does.
You've never even seen it.
Listen, I know you're Jewish. And you think you have a lock on fucking theology, my friend.
Listen.
If it wasn't for your people turning state's evidence against, you know, my Christ and Savior, thank you for that, by the way.
Well, yeah, you're welcome.
You guys gave us Christianity, so I can't. But that does not give me. There's no such thing as something other than purgatory.
But it's not. But it was just an island. It wasn't, and it wasn't kind of an ethereal level of existence. It wasn't
a dream. It was a dream.
It wasn't a dream. What the fuck are you talking about? The island existed. The island, and they talk about it throughout the history of the show. The island was always been this quote unquote magical place. Whether in ancient times when people built statues to gods, or in the 70s when they were doing scientific experiments on it, there was something extraordinary about the island. What it turns out to be is it's got a high level of electromagnetism.
So this island actually existed.
Yes, in the world of the show, the island was real, but it had a vortex. But it had a lot of electromagnetic properties to it, which theoretically, in quantum physics and everything, can make things can create wormholes, can create.
It's almost like Sonoma, pretty much.
It's funny that you say that. Sedona.
Sedona,
like Sedona, Arizona.
But imagine Sedona times a million.
We just went to Sedona, funny
enough. Okay, we're not getting off Lost for a second. we're staying on this track right now.
I'm sure Mike Mateo's entire podcast does not want to be.
It's Rosh Hashanah.
He got me started on this, and I haven't even gotten to the part.
God. He's got like a nerd boner.
I got a nerd on like the
Wait a minute, my theory
Michael,
is.
As he pushes up his glasses.
Exactly. You don't understand. It's not purgatory. It's not a dream. There's electromagnetism.
weed flip. Sorry, I don't know.
Mute. Here, now I'll mute Allison.
All right, go ahead.
Now listen.
Bound to be part of this conversation.
It's a joke.
As you sit there and pick your toes. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Did you like that?
I'm watching. It's very sexy.
It's the second toe picking reference in two episodes.
It's so funny. Well, it's because
you pick your toes in every podcast?
No. He picked his toes at the last one. No. I just got out of the shower.
Okay. Let's.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hold on. In my defense. Little piece of sock still in between my little nail, so I grabbed it out.
Okay,
I'm done. I promise.
So your sock nail toe is done.
This is better than Playboy Radio. I got lit. Let me see my toe.
Oh my God.
Boy, you like that?
God, that's so hot. Right. Lint in your toes.
Hilarious.
So basically,
should I just text JJ Abrams and ask him because I have his number?
Yeah, I would actually love to see if I'm on the money with this.
I'm texting him right now.
I don't believe you have his number though.
I do.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
How do you have his number?
From,
you know, Mike, we can't barely hear you. Let me turn
from
your thing.
From a project I did.
Porn.
Called I'm Full of Shit and I Don't Have His Number.
Yeah.
So anyways, go ahead. I just wanted to see if I was gonna call your bluff and see if you... Wait. You might be right. Go ahead. So it's an item that actually exists.
It existed, but it has electromagnetic properties,
okay,
which enabled it to... Because within the show, the island does travel through time.
Yeah.
The island does cure people.
Yeah.
But it has to do with just because there are really heavy pockets of electromagnetism all over the world. And
okay,
they kind of, you know, use dramatic license to say this one particular island was a huge source of a lot of electromagnetism.
Almost like Bermuda Triangle type
kind
situation.
Of, but centralized on this
all right
island.
So the military knows about this.
The show has subplots about people trying to take the island from
okay
other people, and
all
there's
right
again religious things.
So
to
this
it
plane crashed on purpose. It wasn't just a fluke.
The plane was brought there they say it was by the island.
Okay.
But there's also a religious figure that's part of the island.
So these people are like spiritual guinea pigs.
Essentially. Another theme throughout the show is good versus evil.
Okay.
And science versus faith.
Okay.
Like there's a lot of those themes running through.
So the
through
end result they expose as what?
What happens is, now the reason a lot of people say, oh, it was purgatory, is because the last season, because throughout the season you have flashbacks.
Yeah.
Where you learn about the characters. And then around the fourth season they did flash forwards.
Yeah.
Where you saw what happened in the future after some people got off the island.
And that supposed monster was
the monster
evil.
The monster itself was you could that's one of those things that are definitely
they
up
never
for interpretation.
Expose the
they say where the monster came from, but like not exactly what it is. They say it was the soul of the there's so much. Let's just say it's the soul of an evil person,
all right, for lack
of a better term. But the last season they had what they called a flash sideways, which basically meant
lateral flash.
It was a flash to happen. Theoretically, what would happen? Because at the end of the fifth season, they tried to blow up the island.
Right.
And it was a theoretical thing in the last season that if they blew up the island, what would have happened?
Yeah.
So it's that kind. It's like instead of a flash forward, it's an alternate reality. What that turned out to be that last season, was the purgatory thing. Basically, what it showed is that it's so hard to explain if you haven't seen the show.
Well, they all died basically in the plane crash.
No. This was
an alternate reality. This is quantum physics land.
I'm getting so nerding out here. I'm sorry this has taken up so much of the show, but as you can tell by my enthusiasm, I love the show.
This is your best podcast yet because this is all about Lost.
All about Lost.
All right, go ahead.
The last season basically shows the characters living in this alternate reality, but what it is, okay. It's like, okay, I'm, and you can't see it at home, but I'm basically doing three levels of existence. There's Earth, Purgatory, Heaven, for lack of a better term. Bottom, middle, top. The bottom level, when everybody's existing in real life, like you and I,
we're all
doing on Earth now, this is the Earth level. Purgatory is when you die from Earth, you go to this middle level.
Purgatory.
Okay, Purgatory. Time doesn't, according to the show, time doesn't exist here. Meaning, if one person died on Earth in 1967 and the other person died on Earth in 2017, when they get up to purgatory, it would be like as if they were there at the same time the whole time. So in other words, time existing on Earth level doesn't mean the same thing in purgatory. Does that make sense to you?
See, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just joking. So the bottom line is.
The bottom line
is.
You
don't think it was purgatory.
I don't think the whole story was purgatory.
Even
I think the last
people
season.
Said
the last season.
It had all the signs of purgatory.
Yeah, it had the signs of it, but the last season was
so
truly
like,
the only use of purgatory,
I can't
but it
it's
wasn't
not
saying that the whole time they were in the, on the island was purgatory.
Our listeners must just be salivating
so
over this
I'm
conversation.
Okay,
this
now we're done with that. I've vomited out my nerddom. I said.
I'll give you a little insider information.
Please.
All right.
Well,
I met somebody that was a supposed writer on the show. I believe in it's going in its second season, and it was supposed to. I think they had written it up until the second season. They didn't have a plan to do five seasons.
Six.
No. They did six seasons, right?
Yeah.
So he was telling me they because people were talking about the monster and all this stuff. Like, where's it going? Because we don't even know. We didn't plan on it. So it's just they were just kind of writing as they went, and hopefully just the magic would happen. And
that makes sense.
Whereas a lot of shows, they know where they're going.
I heard a different theory that they knew the whole time what it was going to be.
Just watching the show, you could tell they have no idea what they're
doing.
No,
I agree. I don't know.
So many unanswered questions that left so many Lost fans.
That's
so
the other thing. There are a lot of unanswered questions within the show. I mean, again.
Of which they've established such characters, such things that without an explanation really sort of left us all a little sad. It was almost like how the ending of Sopranos was, where it's all of a sudden just freaking black. You're like, wait!
Yeah.
That's very disappointing. So I'm sorry, Flip. I know that you're very, very excited about it, but it didn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people.
Well, that's fine. That's a great thing about entertainment.
Well,
it's
those
all
are
subjective.
Some of the best shows. You just got to leave it open.
Yeah, exactly.
And just hope to understand.
People like Flip will just, like, you know.
Just jerk off
just
to
waste,
it for the rest of his
life.
Just
waste away watching the DVDs, trying to figure out.
Hey, I've seen
almost like a Da Vinci Code situation with this guy.
I'm very happy with my
That's your favorite show of all times, Lost?
Not of all times, but of the.
What's your favorite show of all times, Flip?
All times?
All time. It's different levels, right?
It's either.
Because you catch up. If you watch reruns of shows you used to watch as a kid and you thought they were just brilliant, you watch them now and you're like, that was the dumbest shit ever.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that way about movies, too, that I loved as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Probably Family Guy or The Simpsons. Like just
Simpsons used like to be number one for me. It still kind of is. One of the
Dexter?
Underground. Dexter's great. I was going to say, of old school and new school combined, something that's really underrated and under the radar is Upright Citizens Brigade. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's one of my favorite. Only three seasons.
How far apart in age are you guys?
Eight years.
Have you ever shown her like a movie?
She's 47 years old.
Have you ever shown her like a movie that you thought was amazing?
Oh, yeah. She
and then she looks at it like, this is...
Oh,
dumb.
Wait, can
it's
I tell...
not even
I,
scary.
Can I tell
like,
them the best one? Can I tell them the best story?
I showed a girl I was dating, Exorcist, and I was like, this is the scariest movie ever made.
Yeah.
And she watched it, and she was like, this is dumb. I could see the makeup, and I can... And you forget that they're...
Well,
the
I
levels
was telling
are different now because of special effects and all this.
Yeah.
It's very funny that you bring up Exorcist. This guy is totally terrified of scary movies, and I love scary movies. So the idea of getting to watch one,
you really
Exorcist was on the top of the list of never to be watched. And I told him, hun, you have to remember, this was the scariest movie, quote unquote, of all time, 40 years ago when people had not ever seen anything like this.
And were you scared shitless?
No, I almost laughed.
Because it's not
See?
So scary anymore.
To this day, it does something. I can't watch it alone. To this day, it'll get me.
Because it scared you when you were young.
Exactly.
Just the part, even when, like, Demi, why you do this to me, Demi? I can't. I'll turn it off and freak out.
Well, I'll tell you.
Really?
And I grew up in Detroit. Nothing scares me. I've been to
like,
some
what?
Jesus. I've been to some shit.
I was going
to
say.
But are you a religious person? Or were you raised religious?
I grew up Catholic. I was an altar boy.
That's,
yeah.
Oh, well,
that's,
then
that'll
gonna,
do
I
it.
I was actually going to be a priest at one point. I really.
Like
I'm going to tell you that.
If
that'll
they had a movie
do
called,
it.
Like, The Extra Schwitz.
Oh, Jesus, Flipper.
I might have.
Filippo.
That's it, too. He's Jewish, so he doesn't really, that doesn't get him, right?
I don't think that. I think
I
it's just honestly.
I don't sound ignorant, Flipper, but do the Jews believe in the devil?
We believe. We believe in retail. That's about it.
Oh, stop it. No, honestly, yeah, I think that if
there's
he...
There's devil in thinking the Torah. I don't know. Like I said, I'm an awful Jew.
I'll tell you 100%. If he would have seen that when he was young, like if he honestly had watched it, he would have. He would still be terrified to this day, but he didn't see it then because he already had a preconceived...
I heard The Conjuring is this generation's...
Oh, my God. Can I tell you? Oh, my God.
Okay,
I haven't
now
seen
she's
it.
About to geek out.
I haven't seen it, but I'm going to go see it.
I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm going to tell you anything, but I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you every person that is listening out there. I am a huge scary movie fan, and I have yet to be really scared at a movie. Now, I went to go see The Conjuring only because, and this is in the theater. I don't pay to go see movies anymore. I think it's ridiculous. It's fucking too expensive. But I paid to see it on the very first day. Why? Because IMDb and the critics had already given it a huge, huge accolade. And the idea that it's a scary movie.
And then when you saw it.
Nobody gives accolades to scary movies. This was phenomenal. Phenomenal.
So the expectations weren't too high.
Scary.
Like going in and...
Scary, but brilliant the way that they bring it about. I don't want to give anything away, but
spoiler
I'm just
going to
say
it's purgatory, but it's not purgatory.
Exactly.
It's like a level
right in between. No, you
it's
know
the
what?
Bottom level between purgatory.
That was like a pothead, non-pothead conversation. You just had your flip.
You know,
I knew Flip. You know, I knew Flip before he even smoked his first joint.
Oh,
no, you didn't.
My goodness.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I could have sworn I was with you when you took your first.
I was 18 when I smoked.
I wasn't smoking though.
I was
really?
18 when I smoked weed. I hadn't smoked for a long time.
Okay, that's what it was.
When I started smoking again with your old roommate.
I thought you were straight up Mr. straight as an arrow type. Never.
Not
he
really.
Gives that, he gives that off.
I give that off.
Give that
off. I'm a fucking hippie.
Really?
No. I'm so I ride the line between nerd and hip.
Yeah.
I'm herd. I'm a nip.
Yes, you are a nip.
As Allison.
You need to go see Conjuring. I'm just
going
to say
I'm
going to
go see
it's
it.
So
I
good.
Actually, no, I like we've talked about this on the show before. I've had
people
a
talk in the movies too much. That's why I don't.
Well, the
oh,
first time.
That's the worst part about this. I mean, the whole audience was just laughing and cracking jokes the whole time, so you couldn't allow yourself to get scared. Watch it at home, like on movies, you know, when you rent it or whatever, alone and in the dark, and
see,
you'll be fucking perfect.
That's what kills me. That phenomenon just exceeded. Black people, like it's not just black people talking anymore. They don't talk as much anymore. Like the last people that ruined a movie for me was an old Jewish lady and her friend.
What
I
movie
was watching
was it?
Django Unchained.
Oh shit!
And the whole fucking movie, bro. She kept talking to the extent of like, is that Quentin? Oh my god, he got so fat. She was talking about how fat Quentin Tarantino got.
How
like,
can his name start with a D
yeah,
but be
like,
pronounced
dude,
Django?
Yeah,
it should
like,
be Django.
It was shit like that. I was like, why can't people just shut the fuck up
and
watch and a
enjoy
movie?
A movie?
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest. Like I said, we talked about this on the show before. I'm never was a fan of scary movies since I was a kid. The same way The Exorcist freaked you out.
Yeah.
Like Jaws freaked me out when I was a kid and took
I
me
still
forever.
Freak out when I go to the ocean. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Took me forever.
I won't go past the.
Me neither. No. I'm the same
the
way.
Level,
like, same way.
Like seaweed wraps your foot. Like, yeah,
exactly.
And
no,
it
but you—it's not that you weren't a fan. You didn't allow yourself to ever enjoy
I'm
it.
On a lake.
That means I wasn't
I have
a fan.
No problem with lakes, but the ocean. Just
oh, lakes! See, I saw like a crocodile movie when I was a kid. And living
no
in Florida, you hear like an alligator grabbed a puppy outside the canal. So I'm like, I'm not going in a lake.
No, just the ocean gets me.
But I was always against scary movies, and recently I've been. Overcoming this fear with Allison's help, because she's like, stop being a fucking pussy and just watch this fucking movie. You're not a child anymore.
I basically have told him you're going to like aspects of it, and if you can just get over some of these, like, you know, pop out kind of like scare moments and just ride it like a roller coaster, I think you'll actually have fun with some of these because you like the premise of the movies.
So what scares you about scary movies?
It's, you know what, it's the jump. It's like the, it's too quiet. Something's going to happen. Something's going to, and that, it's
so
just
the
that.
Your cat just freaked out right now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, she doesn't like scary movies.
Pussy jump. There's another cat back there. Okay.
Yeah, we got two.
So just that those elements scare you.
Yes.
Just the pop out moment.
It's not that it's just it's like that intensity that oh my god just let it happen
yeah.
Kind of thing.
Like I just showed him Saw the other day
well,
and you were
right.
Fine.
I know Saw was actually a great fucking movie.
Because Saw is not a jump out. It's more of a psychological.
Absolutely.
I didn't
gory.
Know that. I thought it wasn't even that gory. I was expecting like. You
it
know,
gets worse. The other Saws get way
that's
grosser.
That's what I hear.
It's just as I'm saying, like people are getting desensitized.
I know.
And
that's true too.
But that's why The
aspect,
Conjuring
man.
Is fabulous. The other Conjuring has no gore, no cussing,
that's what I
no
mean.
Sex.
Like, that's what I was thinking. Like I got jaded. I was like, you know, what else can they show me that hasn't been?
They're going to take you back to the classics.
Already been posted on Facebook by some weird fucking reality video of somebody getting their head chopped off or a beating or
You know the feeling you got from The Exorcist? You're going to get this again because it brings you back to classic movie making. And it's the same guy who does Saw, funny enough. It's James Wan. He totally brings a Hitchcock feel and a suspense to it, as well as you know, enough of like something that might actually terrify you, like Exorcist. I thought it was fabulous, and there's a reason why it's been getting all these good reviews. They really have turned the genre on its ear.
You know, it doesn't have any really big jump out moments, but it just creeps me the fuck out in every frame.
What's that?
Is The Shining.
Love The Shining.
Just saw that.
Just showed him that too.
Did you freak out on that?
I thought it was a great movie. I didn't freak out.
But you didn't get scared?
There's no super scary moment.
It just creeped me out.
That elevator scene.
Stanley Kubrick, all his movies, they're just creepy as shit. Just the way he frames it and the way he shoots it. Did you ever hear that theory?
What's that?
That the government paid him to use the set of 2001 Space Odyssey to film the fake moon landing?
What?
Yeah.
No.
Did you hear about that?
No, but I've always heard that the moon landing is supposedly
a fake. 2001 Space Odyssey. This is before we even landed on the moon, and he had so many elements.
They were just so...
No.
How the hell could he know?
Didn't 2001 come out after the moon landing?
No.
No, it came out before?
No, it was before.
We landed on the moon in like 67 or 9. I think it was 9, 69. And Space Odyssey was like 61 or 2.
Really?
No, it was a little later.
It was later than that.
Hold on.
IMDb.
I'm going to do it.
Research. Yeah. But no, I haven't heard that theory.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Flipper has been getting over his fear, and we've been watching. Yeah, we turned on Saw the other night, and he initially was like, I don't know. And I said, babe, believe me. I've almost been like the judge of whether or not it's going to be too poppy for him to watch or something like that. Funny, for our friend's birthday, though, our friend wanted to see The Conjuring in the theater. I was totally willing to pay to see it again. I mean, that's how good it is. I was willing to pay $13 a freaking ticket to see that movie again. And I basically kind of guilt-tripped Flip. I was like, it's your best friend, and he loves scary movies, and come on.
Who was this?
You're gonna be, it's a good friend of his. I don't know if you ever met his old roommate, Dave. Anyways, but it was Dave's birthday, and Dave wanted to go, and Flip was almost just going to just walk around downtown for 2 hours, and...
Not that, but I was very reluctant to see it, because we had been seeing, I'd been seeing scary movies sitting here on this couch, you know, I could watch it in the comfortability of my own home.
I told him it's way more terrifying.
I could keep the
terrifying.
Lights on a little if I need or whatever. It's like being on a roller coaster, like, okay, there's no way out. Like, I'm in a room with other people, huge screen, big speakers, dark.
But that's
couple
what's
Jewish
brilliant.
Lady sitting behind me.
But
oh, my God, that ghost got so fat.
Why is it The Conjuring? Shouldn't it be The Conjuring?
But
like, The Congregating?
But that's
like,
what
The Congregation for High Holidays? That's why the ghost is mad. It's Rosh Hashanah. No one's at temple.
Oh, my God.
That's why it's The Congregation.
Oh, my God. Hilarious. No, but it seriously had less of a scary effect, I think, because you're in a theater. You're with other people. You constantly hear ruffling of, you know, popcorn bags and stuff. So you're taken out of the quiet mood of it.
Did you get scared?
Yeah. Yeah, there was some scared. Like I kind
of
watched a lot of it with my hand like this, half over my head with my fingers.
We had a few fetal position moments.
Yeah, I was such a queer. I was like... burrowing into her, like, project.
Did you, no, honestly, from a woman's perspective, did you actually lose a little respect for him when you got home?
I didn't lose respect. I know how he is. Like, I knew that this was because what it was going to be, but I did try a couple times, and he got so mad. I tried to just make the point, like, there are young girls here that are not doing what you're doing.
See,
like, just please be aware.
Which is the wrong
way
thing
to emasculate
to say.
A guy. Yeah.
I know. I was terrible. It was so mean.
Yeah,
it was so mean.
Boy.
I was like, no, because we were sitting there, and he's like, you know, just it's his anticipation of what's going to happen. And I said, babe, look at it. Everybody around you is just enjoying
which
the
is
same
not,
thing.
Like, I don't even want to talk to you at that point. I'm getting myself psyched up. Like, okay, you're gonna do this. I know you're almost, you know, you're a man now. You shouldn't even be afraid of this, but you're conquering a childhood fear. You're seeing one of the scariest movies that has come out in the last couple of years in the theater.
It's gonna be fine.
And then I hear her going, "Listen,
Yes, look at how many okay. nice. There are little girls here that are watching. There's a baby here.
I wasn't trying to imagine. I was just trying to say, look, you know, like there's.
It does.
There's a, we're in a group together, like, and there's children here. Like, you're not. You're not.
But
amongst.
Did you hear Mike say, "Well, that's emasculating"?
I know it's terrible. I'm sorry, baby. And I did apologize after I said that. I didn't, because I realized I'd hit a button right when he
well,
was like.
Well, it's not only. It wasn't just what you were saying. It's the fact that you were talking. Like I
need,
was.
You need listen. Yeah. As a wife, you need to support your man.
I do.
Tell him every day, who's the big boy today? You're the big boy, Flippy. Flip's the big boy.
No, we've been watching. I've got to tell you something. After we're watching all these scary movies and I see that he's getting less and less wanting to cover his face, we're winning. We're doing better. Like
she is fucking me so hard lately because I'm watching. I'm kidding.
Well, I mean,
it got quiet in here. Holy shit!
Because nobody bought the bullshit.
Ah, no.
See, even looked at you like, really?
Really?
No, but I mean, I gotta tell you, I have, and he knows how proud. I mean, just because it's, I think that if you can overcome even the slightest fear, it's an open door to help you conquer other fears, and I think that's why we have fears, is specifically to conquer them.
I have.
What are your fears?
I have fear of mice and rats.
Honey, bring out the mice and rats.
And possums. Those are the only things I fear in life.
They're kind of creepy looking. I can understand. They're creepy looking. Do you have a fear of them touching you? What's the fear?
I don't. You know what? Where it stems from, when I was a kid, I worked at the corner store, Steve's Market, that's what it was called. And people just tell me, like, you'd see rats sometimes in the alleys and try to, my friends would, like, shoot at them. But they're like, hey, rats are more scared of you than you are of them. So all you do is just, just stomp your foot and they'll run. And I was stocking the bottles in the back, and I moved them, and there was a big-ass rat there. Jeez. Just on the box, not budging. And it just looked at me, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop and just try to scare it. And it stood on its hind legs.
Oh, Jesus.
And it made this... Really, like, it wasn't, it was like, it made
Whoa,
this.
Whoa, flip, you're playing music and it's blaring.
You're playing.
Sir.
Okay, let him finish his story. You were right in the middle. You cock-blocked
his
story.
No, it didn't, you heard
Not
it.
Not me,
we
it was
didn't.
You, yeah.
I'm sorry.
The listeners heard it or she heard it?
No, only she did.
So this thing.
So this thing is on its hind legs.
Is that what it is? Okay, so this thing just raised up on its hind legs and just made this.
Oh, like geez. This
and I shot out, never went back, never got my last, I just freaked the fuck out. So to this day.
Oh, Jesus. So you had like
image.
The king rat.
Yeah, and I was a kid. So it's just like, proximity wise, it was 7 feet tall to me. And it's still kind of in my head. So I don't know how it's going to happen.
I don't.
Why do you have music blaring?
That's rat.
Don't. Do my heart. That's rat.
Yeah. Round it. Sorry.
Round. Well, you know what? If you think about it in retrospect.
How big was like, was it like this kind of. On his hind legs? Like, give us a measurement.
I was a kid, man, so that shit looked like, Vern Troy in a costume to me. You know what I mean? It just looked humongous to me.
You know, I'll tell you.
And I think that's why I freak out when I see possums, because it's kind of the same.
Yeah, I could see that.
Proximity-wise, it's like a rat on...
And that's the same sort
like
of an idea.
Of rats.
I think that when you were programmed as a child, like from a kid, to be scared of something, you're always going to tell yourself you're scared of it. That's why he was scared of scary movies. He hadn't even watched them for 20 years. And I said, babe, you're a different person now. You're not going to look at them the same way.
I think it goes away, like middle, but then you reach a certain age where I think those fears come back.
Yeah.
Something pops back up.
I think the reason.
You have to deal with, and it just. You just kind of got to work through it.
I think the reason why we have. Wait, what are you doing? Can you hear me? Weird.
Can
Sorry.
You hear us?
Yeah. What are you doing?
Nothing. This is just so that won't bother you anymore.
Oh. Okay. Interesting. Thank you. So they could still hear me the whole time. I just couldn't hear myself. I see. I was going to say, I think that it's really important. I think that fears actually are introduced to us and come back to us specifically. Oh, now I can't hear anybody anymore, though.
We haven't been talking, honey.
That's okay.
No, I can't hear him at all.
I can't hear Michael?
Uh-uh.
All right,
I saw
going.
His lips move. Anywho, I think that it's important to address your fear and in a way overcome it. Like, anytime that I think anybody has any fears, I think that's why they're introduced. So, like, you were given the fear of that as a child, understandably, completely understandably. That's fucking terrifying sounding.
Yeah.
But at this point, I think it would be... it would behoove any person that is dealing with a fear to address, like, to put themselves in that situation to deal with it.
Flip is making rat faces at me right now, you fuckface.
Yeah, I was going to say. We should just bring you to, like, a rat, like, convention or something.
I think if I saw a mouse, I'd be okay with it. But the rat still kind of bugs me out a little bit.
Rats are creepy looking because they're just creepy.
A friend of ours, and I won't mention their name, actually has a fear of E.T., the extraterrestrial. And this person had it as a child, and to this day, and this person is in their mid-30s, if I just look at them and I go, Elliot, they go, ah!
Like, they'll really freak out?
They really do. Like, they have some kind of...
It probably came from that moment when he stretched his neck out and screamed in Drew Barrymore's face.
Maybe.
That probably freaked him out.
Maybe.
There's a lot, I mean, yeah, there's a lot, I think, like that was programmed in us.
Who is it?
Oh, I'm not going to say names.
Is it somebody I know?
No. No, but if they're listening, I don't want...
Is it a comic?
No. Okay. Or yes, maybe.
Come on, Flip.
It's everybody.
It's everybody's afraid of E.T.
That's what
but I think most fears do come from childhood. Like, mm-hmm. like my fear of scary movies, your fear of rats, your fear of...
I don't have any fears.
Yes, you do.
I have a fear of not being liked.
Your fear of not being liked, there you go, comes from when you were a kid, when nobody liked you.
Yeah, that's right.
She was such a bitch as a kid.
You have a fear of not being liked?
Yeah.
By like anybody?
Well, I mean, like, no,
the,
I'm better with it now.
Is she in the right business for that?
Exactly.
No, see, I'm better now than I was, but there was a time when it would, I mean, actually, no, it's still with me. Like, if I have been, here's the thing, if I've been mean to somebody or somebody is disliking me because of something I've truly done, my heart hurts that I have, that I've hurt somebody else.
What if two people that you know,
could you get a little closer
with,
to the mic?
Your mutual friends with, they kind of have a dispute, and it's ridiculous. You have to choose sides, but you have to choose sides. Do you get that?
I've luckily never been in that situation.
Yeah.
But if I
it's
mean,
like,
I, but
like
if I were, I don't think I would.
Sometimes, if you perform with somebody, mm-hmm. another comic will like get mad at you for performing with them because they're pissed off at that comic.
Yeah, or working at another club.
I'm like, dude, that's stupid.
Comics, for whatever reason, comics hold the biggest and stupidest grudges.
Yeah, but then you're guilty by association, even though the person never did anything to you.
Yeah.
Just by, well, everybody doesn't like that guy. You
shouldn't. Right.
I try by putting out just so much love towards...
Life's too fucking short.
Exactly.
Totally.
I try to just put love out so much to everybody that nobody, like, upon them ever putting me in a position where I might have to choose sides, I'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm a lover of everybody. Like, I don't... If you guys have a problem with me loving everybody, then that's your problem. Like,
would you
have
the same attitude if you stopped smoking marijuana?
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't think that this... I mean, I honestly haven't been...
She can't stop smoking marijuana.
I haven't... It's been a long time since I've been... I've gone for, like, 4 days somewhat recently in a row. I remember that. Like, for sure, like, I made a conscious effort not to smoke for 4 days. And problem is, then you go to a show, and everybody knows me as the girl with pot. So it's like, oh, okay, well, I do have pot. I've resisted smoking it for 4 days. You could smoke it. And then I'm like, well, if you're smoking it, I might as well smoke with you.
Tell people you quit, and your biggest fears will come true. Nobody will like you anymore.
Right? Exactly. They'd be like, oh, she doesn't have pot anymore. Fuck that girl.
I thought you liked me for me.
That's interesting. I wonder. I mean, you're a wonderful person. Everybody loves
everybody
her and everything.
Loves,
but I'm just curious, how many comics out there would be that fickle?
No,
to say,
I think
shit, Allison doesn't smoke anymore.
No. I can honestly tell you, I really don't think that would ever be the case. Because most of the time, if people are ever dealing with me, they're not even asking me to smoke with them. I'm just offering to smoke with them. And if for whatever reason. Like, and most of the time they have their own pot and they're like, here, let me smoke you out. And I'm like, no, it's okay. Well, it's just, I have a bunch of stuff. Let's just smoke my stuff. You just save your stuff. You've paid for it.
I get high on life.
Yeah, there you go.
You didn't always. I remember those nights.
No, I never do that.
You never?
No.
Yes, you did.
I never smoked marijuana. But what's the point?
That's true. I'm just, you lead the conversation. I'll follow at this point, Michael.
This is like a lost episode. It's not really marijuana or
it's
purgatory.
More like
it's
I'm high
more
on
like
life.
A...
But life is also a strain of marijuana, but it could also be metaphysical.
Yeah. Speaking of life, how's your Rosh Hashanah going?
Great. Happy Rosh Hashanah, honey.
Happy Rosh Hashanah. Let's ask more about
guys,
Mike. What's going on with Mike?
That's what I was actually going
to
say.
Okay, ask me.
Yeah, because this is this is your thing.
You're our guest,
Now,
and
Mike,
we've been talking about us the whole time.
Now, let me tell you, one of the cool things
about
that...
What?
We've been talking about us the whole time. His scary movies,
wasn't
my
that
bitchiness.
What your podcast? I haven't even heard like two of your podcasts. I'm sorry to say I get it.
No, it's okay.
Most of them are just about you guys.
a lot. It's just, it's very, just it's very this. But one of the cool things about Mike, he,
sexy.
Like, well, sexy, but like I go to Sweden a lot to perform. Mike goes to the Middle East a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've actually, we were going to go next year for my birthday. We were going to go to
Egypt. You're
talking
about going to Egypt.
And we've
tickets,
heard lately.
Tickets are real cheap, right?
Yeah, that's what I hear. But you, so you've been there, right?
Yeah, I performed there.
It was the Egyptian Comedy Festival.
No. I've been did the Amman Comedy Festival in Jordan. King Abdullah and his lovely wife would put it together 2 years in a row. 3 years. I went
King?
The first 2 years. Yeah.
The King of Jordan.
Yeah, him wow. And the city of Amman. They put it together, and so like Russell Peters and Gabriel Iglesias, a lot of comics from New York. People just like international comedy comedians.
Were you told like restriction, like you can't talk about this?
It's weird. Like different regions, different rules. Like in Lebanon, I did Lebanon. Pretty much anything kind of goes. You know what I mean? There's certain, like the guy says, you can talk about sex, but don't make the move. You know, on stage. I go, what do you mean? Don't make a move on stage. You know, don't make like you're fucking on stage. You know, you could talk about sex, but don't do the hip like this.
Really?
Good. Yeah, yeah. Which is weird. I'm like
very weird.
Which I didn't do it though. But so and then if you go to Dubai, don't say anything about the sheikh, you know, royal family, you know, stay away from that, politics, religion, you know, you want to stay clear of. Unless it's kind of a private corporate event or something like that, you can kind of go
tease them.
Somewhere. Yeah, yeah, Egypt, you know, kind of stay away from the sex, you know, you talk about relationships, you know, don't talk about the government, don't talk about, at one point, don't talk about Egypt Air, the airlines.
Really?
Yeah, because I guess the show, you know, they sponsored the show, so don't piss them off. Don't even say
wow.
anything. Even if it was a good flight, don't even mention you flew on Egypt Air, which is
Dude,
weird.
That's strict. Wow.
Of all places, what gave us carte blanche was Nazareth. It was the first time anybody had ever done a Western comedy show in Nazareth, so me and a couple comedians snuck away to do a show there.
Jesus,
and they
literally.
Go, exactly. I got. That's why I said I got paranoid going there because I was like, the last guy that stood in public and spoke his mind there didn't go
do
that
so
well.
Oh,
yeah,
funny.
I was like, yeah, I'm scared. But it was great. They were like, yeah, say whatever you want. Please, dirty blues you want and, you know, whatever. But, you know, our minds sometimes were like the rebellious teenagers. So
yeah.
It was one of my cleanest sets over there. When I went there, but it was awesome, man. It was like,
and that was all part of the same tour.
No, it was different. Like, I'll go with different people. I just got back from Abu Dhabi and Qatar with a thing called the United Nations of Comedy.
Who else was on that?
That was at me, Maz Jabrani, Aaron Cater, and a cat out of Lebanon called Nemer Abu Nasser.
Okay.
And they had a few locals like Halal Bilal, and you know. Couple locals, so it just varies so, when I go there.
So it's always a Middle East kind of comics that go over there.
No, Western comic like Godfrey goes there.
Oh really?
Yeah, Edwin San Juan, Gabriel Iglesias has been there a few times. Russell Peters, of course.
But any white guys?
Any white guys? Guess what? You know who the number one and two comics over there request wise is now
Seinfeld?
Now it's Gabriel Iglesias. No. Jeff Dunham.
Ah.
Which,
he's number one and number
but
two.
He won't,
number
he
two.
No. He's Gabriel Iglesias and then Jeff Dunham.
Ah.
But they like Jeff Dunham and the
they like
you
his
know,
like Middle
you know the guy
Eastern
the Ahmed Dididis. Yeah, they but he won't go over there. He probably thinks it's a setup or something. So he's scared. I don't know if he's scared to go or he just doesn't want to go.
I don't blame him.
They pay nicely. I mean,
I just mean by that Ahmed the terrorist.
No,
puppet.
They liked it. They thought it was funny.
Really?
Yeah, they thought it was hilarious.
Oh.
They actually wanted him to go over there.
Wow.
But that's what I'm saying. People have a different, you know, like when I first got there, I got scared too when I first, went, you know, because you watch CNN.
Oh, yeah.
And you're freaked out, you know.
Well,
what
they
I mean?
Show
it's
us
my
the
own
worst.
They show you the worst. They show you the guy burning the flag,
yeah.
Going nuts. But, I mean, you go there and it's.
That's like coming here
it.
And showing America as being just the Ku Klux Klan rally.
Yeah,
I was going to say Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. They're just showing.
No, but like you're
showing
one
the,
hate group.
Showing the rednecks of. Yeah,
the one hate group that's
yeah.
being angry.
And
then
not
and then
like
because us Americans are not, you know, thinking to actually look into whether or not that's the truth or not, we just take it spoon-fed to us and believe that that's exactly
well,
the way
what,
that every
well, it's the government. They
it's
just
ridiculous.
Well, what's one of like Was there something like really kind of fucked up that happened while you were there, or something really fun? Like, what's the best story that you have from one of these stores?
The scariest, you mean?
Sure.
Or funnest?
It's not. They've all been great. Like, everybody's just. It's a great, great thing. But like, it's kind of like double standards. Like, we had, like they have armed guards sometimes at these shows, and they're like kind of standing at the stage with their straight face, you know what I mean, with the guns, and you know, at certain venues, you don't want to piss them off. But we were in Jordan, and it says like, you know, no smoking anywhere. Like in this, you could smoke everywhere, but not in this vicinity. So I'm about to go on stage, and these two guards are just sitting there before I go up, and they're just sitting there blowing smoke like dead in my face right before I'm about to go. I go, I thought it was no smoking. No, for you guys, no smoking, but for us, it's okay. I have the gun, you know.
Oh my god.
One of my buddies in the airport, they finally put up a sign saying no smoking. And who was it? I think it was Aaron Cater. He goes, you know, there's a sign that says no smoking. He goes, yeah, yeah, but it's not the sign from God. And just kept going.
Wow.
But it's been great. I mean, the only problem I did have is we were crossing over from Jordan to Nazareth. You had to go through the checkpoint, you know. Israeli checkpoint, my first time there. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm Middle Eastern, but I'm from America. They're not going to give me any shit.
Right.
And the two other comedians I was with were Palestinian origins, but they live in America. So I guess because of that, they kept us at the border for quite a while.
Really?
Yeah, and they weren't too friendly at the border.
Did you guys have a translator or anything with you?
Like no, they speak English. Everybody speaks English. That's
well. Did you have a tour manager who was doing all the talking, or was it just you guys?
No. This guy named Amr Zahir kind of took us over. One of the comedians had set this gig up, and we snuck away from the Amman Comedy Festival to do that. But
this is going to Nazareth, you said?
This is going to Nazareth from Amman, Jordan. And yeah, that's the only issue I had. But I was sitting there for like 3-4 hours, and I'm like, they're not doing shit. They're just why are you coming here? We're like, we're doing a comedy. What is a comedy show? What are you talking, comedy show? I'm like, you know, microphone, comedy. Yeah, okay, wait here. And they just, and then one of the Israeli soldiers were sitting there, and he looks at me and starts, you know, nodding and smiling. And he's off to the side. I'm like, hey, and he flags me over. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, man. He seems pretty, I don't know what he wants, but I go sit there. He goes, weren't you in the movie Don't Mess with Zohan? I go, yeah. He goes, yeah. But then they started speaking, you know, Hebrew to each other. And I go, yeah, yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, cool, man. At least I'm going to get through now. I go, okay, go back, sit over there now. I was like, shit.
Oh, man.
Did nothing for me. I was like, yeah.
You were in Don't Mess with Zohan?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
for a second, you're like, thank you, Adam.
Yeah,
Sandler.
Yeah. I was like, booby. Yeah, yeah. He was cool, yeah. But other than that, it's not too many, not too many troubles, man. It's really.
And what were the sizes of the venues?
The certain venues 800, certain venues 2,500.
Wow.
Oh, wow. So
comedy's big over there, yeah. So it's an event. So well, when they go, it's huge.
Hook a brother up.
I'll toss your name, brother. Go. Would you go?
I'll take out a puppet.
You're scared,
yeah.
Man.
No, I'm not. I'm doing a military tour in a couple of weeks.
For the military, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
I've been to Iraq before.
Sure, we'll put a.
Yeah, I did the did the improv in Hebla.
They have a comedy club in Tel Aviv.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Does anybody ever bomb?
It's called the Greek.
Oh, Jesus.
But the funny thing is I hear that Palestinian and Israelis go to perform at this club, and it's like a green zone. It's like there's you can
really?
Talk about each other, and it's like I said, when it was just going to the border gave me trouble, but when I actually performed there, there were some Jews in the crowd with some Palestinians, and they... some of them are very friendly with each other. Like, oh, I babysit for his family, babysit for mine, and they're friendly with each other. It's not what you're seeing on TV.
Of course, because TV wants everybody
yeah, exactly.
to hate each other.
Exactly. I'm
We're
not
making,
you know.
Yeah.
I'm
no, they're,
there's
that's
a certain thing. Yeah, of course. But when you have to pick sides, you have to pick sides. But, yeah, when I was there, it was great. I was, you know, making fun of the border. I was like, oh, they were so gracious at the border, man. They just let me sit there and sit there and... Sit there and sit there, and you know, they were just they got all the jokes and references, and people were great, man.
That's
people
cool,
were
man.
Great, both sides.
I would love to do it.
How is Switzerland?
Switzerland? I don't know, I've never been, but
or
Sweden,
that's where you went. Sweden,
Sweden is great,
yeah,
like really fantastic audiences. They love comedy, they very appreciative, beautiful women.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That
at this point, he just turned off Allison's earphones.
Oh, no, I don't care. Oh, please.
Oh, no, she gives me carte blanche.
Yeah.
She picks her toes.
Or carte Rhoda or carte Ginny.
Wait a minute. When you go to Sweden?
If he wanted to, he probably could.
I never have. No, she keeps saying that, but I don't believe her.
Don't do that, man.
I don't care. I honestly
don't.
I don't
care.
I honestly.
We've had this discussion before
yeah,
on the
many,
show.
Many times.
A lot of nobody believes her. That
well,
she
it's never
care.
Happened. You've never given me a reason to prove to you. Well, I'm more like a guy in my mind. I swear to you, I think that marriage.
Or
is
more like she's
marriage.
Waiting for you to say, Allison.
Yeah.
You know, if you want, while I'm away. If
yeah, that,
you
that,
want.
That's like saying, here, you could light this match next to this canister of gasoline. Nothing will happen. Nothing will happen.
I think
okay.
that marriage
listen,
the marriage should never be like a jail of a person's
it's not
wants.
Not a jail, but I mean, the eagle's very fragile.
But mine's not. Yours might be, but mine's not. That's why I say he can go and have fun with ladies, because why would I tell him for the rest of his life that he could never have another lover except for me? How stupid and, like, jealous of me is that?
So Flip, what are you doing after the show?
I don't know. How do you look in a wig?
Nice.
How do you
well
look
played.
In a wig, Mr. Bits?
I've got some lipstick. He likes a lot of lipstick.
Well, no, we should get off this topic. It's going to end in divorce by the time I leave.
Oh, no.
That's the thing. It's like, I don't think.
Look, and fuck you! And fuck you, too! I'm like, thank you. Good night, everybody. I'll just close out the podcast for the two.
Oh, my goodness. No, this is not heading in divorce. This is heading into. I want him to know that I am not the kind of person who would think that. Guy or girl, like, I don't believe, I believe that you can have a partner and a lover for your whole life without telling them that they are never allowed to ever follow their animal instincts and ever allowed to go do anything that they really want to do
I
in their soul.
I missed the 1950s. What about you, Flip?
What's that?
I said I missed the 1950s.
where I was barefoot and pregnant.
keep your mouth quiet, you.
Exactly,
oh, yeah,
exactly, kid.
Where's my martini and the pot roast?
See, I like just the very next decade. I like the 60s where everybody was living together on communes and loving each other.
How long have you two been together now?
All together, like in a relationship?
Yes.
4.5, almost
four and
5 years.
Almost 5 years. Wow. Yeah. And you told him this from day one?
Oh, yeah.
No.
I told my ex-boyfriend this. What are you talking about?
And hence, that's your ex-boyfriend.
Well, I mean, but I was always in the mindset.
Did your ex-boyfriend go out and...
I'm just sitting back letting you guys go. This is great.
You know what? Actually, in retrospect, I come to find that, yeah, there were probably a couple of times. And in my mind, I'm honestly not angry by that.
But
well,
you
I
told
him
ahead of time. You gave him
oh,
that.
Yeah. He was a musician and he wanted to go tour. And
But you broke up because of that.
No. No, we broke up because we already knew. We'd been together for...
For dinner.
What? You're playing the music. Sorry. We're talking. You're playing the music. Okay.
Sorry, did not mean to.
I don't know. Did you hear the music? So it's only me that hears it.
No,
so
I heard it that time.
Okay. Well, I was going to say.
Does that normally happen during podcasts?
Unfortunately, it's more times than not.
Because he's the.
It's because
okay,
I thought it was everything.
I thought it was your cue to like get the fuck off the topic.
No.
Like,
oh, okay. I thought that was your. Yeah.
That was your
musical
man,
hand gesture. Like cut the topic.
Look what's
like, it's like
happened.
The Oscars. I'm being played off. Like all right, wrap it up. No,
I guess I'm old fashioned, man. Maybe it's because I'm Middle Eastern. I don't know what it is.
I have respect for everybody's way that they want a relationship. In my mind, even from a kid, I dated my ex-boyfriend from the age of 15 to 21, and throughout just about every single year, I was like, look, who am I to tell you that you can't be with other people? I mean, that's just, that's selfish of me to want to take your entire essence, your entire soul, and make you promise that I'm the only one. And in that regard, we had such a close relationship. And in retrospect, yeah, there were a couple of step-out times probably. But we're talking about 6 years when we were children. And as I got older, I thought, you know what? I still have a very, very strong belief that who am I to keep you from your wants? I have more of a guy's mindset, I think, because I wasn't really raised with a dad, that I latched onto my guy friends and I created my own guy thought process. And my thought process from a guy's point of view is, who the hell am I to tell you can't have anybody else?
Well, see, and then we've discussed
hence
this.
That's why she picks her toes during podcasts.
Exactly.
Like a dude.
You should see her scratch
her
balls.
Oh, yeah,
smells
no,
her
no,
fingers
dude,
and
half the time, I'm
yeah,
sitting
so
like
this.
Yeah,
so like I'm saying, Flip, if you want to
Usually, and I'm not even going to lie because you're an old friend, I'm just going to show you this is the position that I'm normally in all day, every day. I'm like, hello.
Isn't she attractive?
Hey, how you doing?
Why would I want to go anywhere else? Why would I want when I've got this delicate flower of a butterfly?
Next to you, picking her toes while you're watching Lost.
Picking her
toes.
That's
how we do it.
That's your heaven. That's your heaven.
That's how we do it.
No, but I don't want to get anymore because we've discussed this too many times on the show. But I'm like you. I'm kind of an old-fashioned guy. So even with that attitude, I'm like, I probably wouldn't be able. I would feel too guilty to do it.
Until the day when I bring a girl into the bed with the two
then
of us.
Then by all means. By all means.
That's too much pressure for you.
Is that no? Oh, you can, oh no! Won't be for me. I'd be like done. You guys go.
You guys, yeah.
I'll get the camera.
There we go.
But speaking of filthy, dirty, disgusting things, it's now time for a part of the show called the Skippy Green Show.
It's the Skippy Green Show.
Mike Batea.
Skippy Green, how are you, sir?
Is that supposed to be me?
No.
Sounds like me in a burlap sack sucking on
back
helium.
In the Catskills.
Jesus.
Everybody does you to you. You
like
have to understand that, Skippy.
It's like a midget. It's like a midget. It's like Vern Troyer trying to do me. It's Minnie, my God, that sucks.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's all right, Batea.
Oh,
all
Skippy.
Right.
All right.
Here
what's,
we go.
What's this part of the show?
I'm going to ask you a question, and you got to answer this question.
All right.
In 10 words exactly. Not 11, not 9, 10 words.
Has to be 10.
Horry McGee will be your fingers.
All right.
That's where I like to be.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Go ahead.
If you could fuck.
Which I can.
In any Middle Eastern country.
I swear I sent that question to you telepathically. Keep going.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Which country would it be and why? He's counting in his head, everybody.
I would sex in Jordan because it's my homeland.
Nice.
Beautiful,
beautiful.
Poignant.
Beautiful.
To the bone of point.
And I got all 10, right?
Yes,
I got
you
all
did.
10. That was pretty damn good.
That was awesome.
I swear to you, I was literally sitting here and I was going, he's going to ask him an if you, and he's going to ask something about sex. And I'll be like, what have we talked about in the show? Which Middle Eastern country he's performed in?
Well,
and then I swear.
Aren't you the smartest girl in the room?
No, I just said
what's usually the question that he asks?
If
I
you
don't
could
know,
have
Skippy's
sex
weird
depending
like that.
On
it's usually something to do with sex and something that has been talked
it's
about
sex,
throughout the show.
It's always sex and something.
Well, it's Skippy Green. What would you expect?
Nothing less, man. Nothing
if
less.
If you could theorize what the concept
of lost.
Motion.
Of lost, what would you?
Dude, thanks so much for coming by
hey,
doing
man,
this.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for being had. Where can people find you?
Where can people find me? They can find me at MikeBataea.com. That's M-I-K-E, B as in boy, A as in apple, T as in Tom, A as in apple, Y-E-H. You can catch me on Twitter at MikeBataea and or Facebook, my friend.
There you go. Is it? I'm sorry, I always pronounce Batea. I apologize.
It's
I didn't realize it was Batea.
That's Batea, but
I will remember. That's it almost sounds Italian. Like, hey, I'm a little Batea right now.
Batea,
I'm going to take a nap,
like,
okay?
Yeah, butt tired.
But
I'm butt tired. That's how you remember it.
Allison?
DirtyGuitarGirl.com and go by Epic. Wee!
Is this thing live?
No.
No. This will probably be aired
in a
sometime.
Month.
Yeah, probably
four
in October.
Weeks out.
In October?
Yeah. So,
so you're 4 weeks out.
Yeah, I
we
sorry guys,
these.
We record these a little in advance. So if you're listening to this now, going, wait a minute, Rosh Hashanah was a month ago.
Well, when you notice that, like sometimes there are weeks when somebody here has to put up like a comedy gig because we didn't get a chance to get a
you
guest
talk
in that
about,
week.
Like, past tense, like oh, it was fun, but you didn't do the gig yet. That type of thing.
I guess so. I honestly missed what Allison just said.
Oh, no, I was saying, like...
they're promoting upcoming gigs, but they...
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. This, do you have something going on in October?
In October, I'll be in New York, hopefully 24th through 26th at Gotham, and then maybe back in the Middle East. I'm not sure what parts, possibly Egypt.
Cool.
And Lebanon, so we'll see. I mean... I'll just talk about them and be like, yeah, they were great shows, man. It was awesome.
Well, if you listening again, you can always go to MikeBataya.com and see where he is right about now. And, guys, you know my shit. I'm Flip is Funny, Facebook, Twitter, buy CDs, Skippy CD, everything on iTunes, including the movie that I'm still going to plug, even though it's been almost a year, 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity with the Devil Inside the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
And that's where can we find that, Flip?
iTunes, Amazon, Best Buy, Target. You are muted. And we will see you guys next week. Thanks again, Mike.
Peace out, Boy Scout.
What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.